but just the blend of the scriptures, the songs that we had, just all kind of a giving our lives and realizing how important God is to us, realizing how important our Savior is to us, realizing what an awesome thing it is to be called by God, to be alive in the world and know the Creator who made us, who saved us, and who is so interested in our lives. It really is just something that should be compelling us moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, with a deeper desire to commit, to lay down our lives before Him and say, "You're it, God. You're all I need. You are everything to me in my life." And so we lay down our lives and we have this commitment to God. Now, last time I spoke, we were talking about our redemption, how we have come out of sin, how God has called us out of sin. He's brought us to the conviction that He is God, that He has baptized us, and we're in the wilderness. And we talked about what made for failure in the wilderness for the children of Israel, but what makes for success for us in the wilderness. Now, I want to get a little more practical about this today in some of our teaching and some of our thinking about it, because what we're really talking about in terms of our calling, what do we do now that we've been called out? What do we do now as Christians, realizing the greatness of God, realizing that we have this great salvation? What does Jesus, our Savior, want us to be doing? Well, in as much as we can say it in a word, He wants us to be overcoming. He wants us to be overcoming. Overcoming what? Overcoming that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, we went through a few weeks ago, what is the glory of God? And everybody did so awesome. We talked about those items. What is the glory of God? That is the goal. That is what we are shooting for. The standard. That is where we're headed in life, to the glory of God. But it says that we've all sinned and fallen short. When God calls us, we realize that we are called in a fallen state. Right? We're not perfect. We know our sins. When we see the holiness and the glory of God, we realize that we don't measure up to that. But my friends, that is where we're headed. Did you know that? You have been called to become the righteousness of God. You have been called to be glorified by Almighty God. That is where you're headed. And we do this by overcoming. The things that we are today are not to be the things that we are tomorrow. Now let's look at these verses here. For those of you who are watching at home, we're going to go to the book of Revelation in chapter 2. So you can just write these down. We're just going to read them through here. Just ask you to read through here on the PowerPoint with me. Just notice, these are the words of Jesus Christ to the church. In each of the churches, this is what He wrote. "To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:11. "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death," that death of judgment. It's appointed a man once to die, then the judgment. You don't want that second death, right? You won't be hurt by that. Revelation 2:17, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." Okay, awesome things, right? "And he who overcomes," Revelation 2:26, "he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." Wow. To him who overcomes. And then he quotes, "He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I have also received from my Father." So he says, "To him I will give power over the nations, as I have also received from my Father." This is what Jesus wants to give to those who are overcomers. To those who have put and laid aside all the things of sin and pursued after the glory of God. Revelation 3:5, "To him who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." What an awesome promise from Jesus there, right? Not only am I not going to blot it out, but I'm going to be confessing it. "Your name is one that I will speak before my Father and before the angels." That's something worth living for, isn't it? Have Jesus do that for you and for me? Revelation 3:12, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God. Awesome. And the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Can we agree these are awesome promises? These are awesome things that Jesus is offering, that Jesus is promising to him who overcomes. But here's the thing. We looked at the glory of God. Now, I had to choose, you know, select things. I couldn't put everything that we had, because that list that you guys made up that day was just awesome on the glory of God. But notice, when you look at the glory of God, these are things that you will see. You see God as your protector, your provider, your savior, your healer, right? He's compassionate. He's honorable. He's kind. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's generous. He's good, right? When you think of God as a just God, when you look at God, you see every bit of perfection that you could hope for as a human being in Almighty God. Every bit of perfection is there. That is His glory. That is why we worship Him. That is why we adore Him. He is the aim of our life, that we could be like Him, that we could come to the glory of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This was a verse we were focusing on previously when I spoke in regard to the days of unleavened bread and the feasts and the power to overcome, the power of God's grace in our lives. And in Romans 3 and verse 23, it says this: For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what is sin, in a sense? What is one definition you can take from this verse? Sin is falling short of the glory of God. Right? Here is the glory of God. When we are not faithful, when we are not righteous, when we sin, when we're not being patient, when we're not being humble, what do? We fall short of the glory of God. Now this is what we're aiming for, is the glory of God. This is the target. Now what's interesting is this word sin. What does this word sin mean? In the Greek, this is the word harmartia. Harmartia. You also find it in the New Testament, harmartano. Harmartano. These are the Greek words that are translated most often for sin. What does it mean? It means to miss the mark, to miss your target. This is the target. This is what our aim is. But when we miss this target, we fall short. This is the mark that we're aiming for. So the question is, how do we, human beings, with our frailties, with our weaknesses, how do we hit the mark? How do we overcome? How do we become like God? That's the real challenge question, isn't it? And how do we apply this knowledge into our lives? All right, so let's take a look at this. You knew I was going to bring something that we learned, right? Had to come out. But how much more perfect? Now, in the Greek, harmartia was probably a term used for missing the mark, like an archer, right? Taking aim and doing that. So here we are. This is what's called perfect sight alignment. And for those of you at home, I apologize wholeheartedly that you can't see this. You have these things called a rear sight in the back at the gun where your hand is in the base. The front sight is the little bit at the end. And you have a target. You have three points that have to line up. Now these three points are very important, because if any of them is off, you're not going to hit it, right? If you have your back sight in alignment, but not with the front sight of your gun aiming toward a target, you're not going to hit the target. If you have the back sight and the front sight lined up, but you don't even have it facing at the right target, you're not going to hit the target, right? So wherever you pull the trigger, that bullet could go anywhere it goes. It's not going to hit the spot. And if you don't have your rear sight in there and lined up, what's going to happen? You're not going to hit the target. You have to have good sight alignment in order to hit the target. If you don't have good sight alignment, your accuracy is going to be off. You might be shooting at a target, but coming nowhere close to it. Now, what's very interesting in life is it's very easy to miss what you're shooting at. Believe me, it's very easy to miss. Now, here's one of the things that happened to me when we were at Front Sight Camp together that made me miss. I kept wanting to look at the target, the thing I was shooting at downrange. My eyes kept wanting to focus on that thing rather than focusing on what they teach, which is focus on the front sight. Our instructor used to say, focus on the front sight. He was Venezuelan. Focus on the front sight. I have that in my head over and over and over. Focus on the front sight. This morning I'm showering. Focus on the front sight. I'm thinking about this front sight. Here's what's so amazing. The more I focus down on the target, the less accurate I was. Now, that doesn't seem quite right, does it? But it's true. And here's what's interesting. When you're only 3 meters from your target, you can get away with it a little bit, right? When you're close to it anyway, you can kind of get away with it. But guess what happens? When you go back to 7, 10, 15 meters, what, 49 feet, if you're focusing on the target down 49 feet away, frankly, guys, it's almost impossible to hit that target. It doesn't seem like it would be that way. I'm just telling you what is. And the instructors would come up and they say, you're focusing down on that target downrange, right? Yeah. No, don't do that. Focus on the front sight. You want to hit the target downrange, you've got to be concerned about what's happening right here at your front sight. It's not about looking down range. So it's a very interesting concept. So here it is. This is how it's supposed to look. Here's the front sight. Now you notice the front sight, this is down at the end of your barrel. See how clear that is? Your vision allows you to have one solid focus when you're talking about three distances away from your eyes. So you can see how this is a little blurry. See this? This is the rear side of your gun. And you see how the target downrange is blurry? Those never come in. Now, I want you to do a little exercise that they did with us. I want you to hold your thumb out in front of you. And I want you to kind of point that thumb to me right now. All right? Hold your thumb out in front of you and point it to me. So you can see me behind your thumb. Okay? So you got me? You got me in the sights, Megan? But right like this. You're looking at your thumb, but I'm behind it. Okay? Now, I want you to focus so that you can really see your thumbnail as you focus on me. Now, the more you focus on your thumbnail, the blurrier I become, right?
Which one of you do you want me to
focus on? Oh, close one of your eyes. Close one of your eyes. Sorry, thank you. Close one of your eyes. Okay, so now, can you see your thumb really clearly? And when you're focusing so hard on your thumb, your periphery, you can see me, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not crystal clear. Now, when I move, I want you to follow me with your thumb. But here's the thing. Don't take your focus off your thumb. Keep it on your thumb. Okay, y'all with me? You still pointing at me, but keeping your focus on the front? Okay, so as I move, what's amazing is you can still keep your focus solid on your thumb, but your brain is able to register where you're heading, right? All right. Thumbs up to you guys, too. It's a great sermon so far, right? Right on. Yeah. Good. All right. So everybody give me a thumbs up first time, and it's on record that I got thumbs up. Okay. So here's the amazing thing. You can still see the target in the distance, but where you really want to have your focus is on the front sight. Because if your front sight alignment is off, if you're not making this box, your accuracy goes off. Even just little shifts will send the bullet going a different way, right? And so the further you are from your target, what happens? The less you are getting this perfect sight alignment up where it's lined up across the top of the box and perfectly centered in the zone, you become more inaccurate, right? And the further back you go, that inaccuracy will really cost you. So by the time you get back to 15 meters or about 49 feet, your shots may not even hit the target if you don't have good sight alignment. Now, what are we learning from this? We have a goal, right? Here we are today. And we'll just say that we're at the rear sight. We're standing back, furthest back from the target. Our target in life is to become the righteousness of God, to become in the image and the glory of God. What does it say in Ephesians 4:13? Until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when we look at that, when we look at that target, and sometimes that target seems like it's way down range, we are so far away from that. If we're focusing on that, you know what we're going to do? I just can't hit that. Do you know how many guys I heard say when we got back to that 15 meters, I just can't hit that far target? Do you know what's interesting about that? The target pretty much stayed where it was when we were at 3 meters, 5 meters, 7 meters. The target wasn't moving. The target was still there. We were just further away from it. The more we were thinking about how far we were away, guess what happens? Your head starts to play games with you, and you're saying, I can't do that. How can I make that target? How can I hit that target? I'm so far away from it. And you know what you begin to see? How incompetent you are. You begin to distrust yourself. You just think, there's no way I can do that. And as you try to hit that target by focusing on that target, and you see how far it is away, and your head starts to play all these games with you, guess what happens? You draw your weapon, you shoot, and you miss. And misses are real high from that distance. And the further back you go, I imagine they just get worse and worse, right? Because any little thing off sends that bullet way off, right? Further back you are, you know, just whoosh, that goes out for infinity. So your range off the target. Now this happens so much to us in our personal lives. We see where God wants us to head. We start focusing on that. And inside we say, I can't do that. How many of you have ever told yourself or been told by somebody else, well, Jesus was perfect, but I can't do that? How many of you ever heard that? Raise your hands. That was Jesus. You can't do that. Okay? That's like getting back from a far distance from your target and saying, I can't. I can't do that. Let me tell you what. If your only focus is downrange on what you need to be, you're probably right. You can't do it. But if your focus is solid on the front sight, you can do it. What should our focus be on? How is it that we hit the target of the glory of God in our own lives? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. It's very providential that Carolyn's scripture of choice read verses that I want to cover with you today. Colossians 3 and in verse 1. Okay. Colossians 3 and in verse 1. It says, if you were raised with Christ. Okay. Have you been raised with Christ? Okay. So the resurrection of which we were raised with Christ was when we went to baptism. We get baptized into water signifying that we have died, right, with Christ. And when we come up out of the water, we come up a new creature raised with Christ. This is our hope. This is why we go through the process of being baptized into water. We come up. Just as the Israelites came up out of the Red Sea, we came up out of the watery grave to be new. So if you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is. Okay? Your front sight. This is your focus. This is where you make your aim. This is where you put everything in life. In order for us to become what God would have us to be, our focus has to be where Christ is. Any other focus in life that takes us off the front sight is going to have issues. You know, one of the things that's really dangerous when you're on a range with a bunch of guys is when they're not heading down, looking downrange or down at their sights, And they start to turn their head. Because you know what happens with that weapon? Whoa! And everybody gets scared because you're not thinking about what you're doing. Your focus is off where you're aiming, and it becomes a very dangerous situation for everybody. Guess what happens in life, guys? When we, as human beings, take our focus off of Jesus Christ, life gets dangerous. That's where sin comes in, isn't it? That's where you have people committing adultery. You have lying. You have stealing. You have murder. You have covetousness. You have every ill in society because you're not focused on Christ. You're focused somewhere else. And that's when life gets dangerous. You have to keep your focus on Jesus Christ. He is the front sight that keeps us on target to where we need to go. No matter if we're 3 meters, 15 meters, or 100 meters from our target, He is the front sight. Always. So he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay, now this is so important. Because everything in life kind of is set up as a distraction. The ruler of this world has set up this world as a distraction to get your focus off of God and onto something else. It makes it so dangerous because you take your eyes off of Christ, you're right back where we said. You're right back into the world. You're right back into the things of the world. You make them your aim and pleasure. And so you'll miss becoming the glory of God. You'll miss coming down the range to be who God made you to be. God made you to be this person. He made you to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you believe that? He didn't just save you so you could be conscious and alive forever. That's not why God saves you. It's not just about getting you to be alive. It's getting you to be alive in the measure, in the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that you would bear His image, that you would have His character, that the things that make for the glory of God are a part of you and your character. You know, we look back at the glory of God here. Do you see that this is who you are to be in your life? And that anything short of that is falling short of the glory of God. It's missing the target. When you see that, who God is, wonderful, perfect, righteous. All right, let's continue on here in Colossians 3 and verse 3. Colossians 3, verse 3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Why? Why? Because you had your eyes on Christ. The assurance of appearing with Christ in glory is having your mind on Christ in the heavens, setting your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Do you get that? Do you realize how quickly you can make this transformation in your life? You know what's interesting? After the first day, Scott was telling me that Mike, one of the officers, police officers who was with us, he said, "You realize you're shooting like 50 to 60% of the police officers?" And he was talking about how big the targets are and how many misses they have, and you know, but that we were shooting better. And we were complete novices showing up that first day. I mean, it was just scary. If Grant had shown us anything, I mean, it would be like, you know, just scared to even touch a weapon. But he said, "You're shooting better than like 50 to 60% of officers." Do you know what makes the difference? It's focusing on the front sight. The accuracy came because they were teaching us something. Okay, I'm teaching all of you something today. You have to set your mind on things above where Christ is. You have to be focused on Him and where He wants you to go. And by doing that, you can very quickly go from being very inaccurate in your life to accurate. So when He says, you who have been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Why? This glory of God, protector, committed, humble, patient, loving, teaching, truthful, honorable, graceful, perfect, Your sights have been on Him, on this way. You can't help but hit this target because your focus in life is on Jesus Christ, who is all these things. Don't focus on you being this. Focus on Him. Let Him be the change in your life. You have to trust when you hold a weapon and you point it down that you have good sight alignment, you're going to hit the target. You know what's amazing? They do this test at the end with the speed and everything, and it's pretty fast, like 1 point some seconds, 2 point some seconds, and you have to unconceal your weapon, draw it out, go down, and you have to be ready to fire. Do you know that I didn't see where I was hitting at all? Sometimes I knew when I missed because I knew I wasn't focused on the front sight, but I didn't even see where I was going till they graded at the end. Didn't even see it because they turned the target away. You don't see it anymore. But you know what was interesting? I knew when I was making good shots. Because I was keeping my front sight in alignment right there, and I kept pressing toward the mark, keeping my center focused on the front sight. I didn't need to see specifically what happened at the target. I knew what was happening because my focus was right here. And the same is true in your life. Don't be looking down and say, how can I hit the target? Because it's going to mess with your head and you're going to be thinking, I can't become perfect, God. I can't live righteously, God. I can't go without sin. And you start thinking about the downrange target and you start missing everything. But when you keep your focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, you can hit the target. You can appear with Him in glory because you've made your life focus the front sight of Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? I don't have to worry about that as long as it's in my sights downrange. I know that if I keep my life focused on Jesus, that I'm going to be doing it right. I have to trust what's going on right here. That will work out. And it does. And you don't, your mind wants to say, no. I gotta be. No, you've got to keep it right here. Because when you don't, you get messed up. You start doing it yourself instead of trusting what's happening right here in front of you. Right here happening in Jesus Christ. So he says, therefore, verse 5, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Okay? So he's acknowledging, hey, guys, you did these things. This is the way you live. You were focused on a bunch of other things. You were way off the mark. Okay? Get rid of that now. You're going to focus on Jesus Christ. Your focus is on Christ. And he says, but now you yourselves are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You've put off the old man. In other words, when you're focused on Jesus, what place is there in your life for fornication? How can you be lusting after a person if your desire and focus is on Jesus Christ? If your mind is on Jesus Christ, if you're hard focused on the front sight, where does the lust come in? How can it come in? Do you see my point? Where does that enter in? That was the other thing they used to say. Hard focus on the front sight. Hard focus on the front sight. Over and over, every time. He would just keep focusing on this. Every time we were learning, it's ingrained. I can't even, you know, think about pulling out a weapon without thinking about those words. It's in my muscle memory. It's in my brain. Heart focus. Heart focus. Okay? I'm telling you, you've got to hard focus on Jesus Christ. You live your life, you've got a hard focus on Jesus Christ. If you think you can live it alone without Jesus Christ, you're making a huge mistake. You're going to miss the target. Because He is what keeps our aim straight. And the intimidating thing is the further you get from your target, or the further you think you are from your target, the harder this all becomes. Because guess what? We know we're weak. We know, boy, that's a long shot. Boy, that's really tough. And you've got to trust that if you keep your aim on Jesus Christ, you're going to make it. So think about Him. Set your mind on Him. So you can't think about fornication or uncleanness or evil desire. You can't think about anger and wrath. What would Jesus think if I'm losing my temper and screaming and yelling and having a fit? Would you do that at the throne room of Jesus Christ? Would you steal from somebody in the throne room of Jesus Christ? What kind of conduct would you have in the throne room of Jesus Christ? When you realize that your life is hidden with Him and you're before Him, these things just kind of die. That's why I said put them to death. If you're focusing on Jesus Christ, there's no life that these things can be given in your life anymore. Do you realize that? They're going to be put to death because you don't give them any life. Do you realize this is the beauty of the power that we're shown in Jesus Christ? When He took a people of Israel, He led them out of Egypt, He brought them through the Red Sea to baptism, He destroyed all their enemies by the waters rushing back, He brought them to the wilderness and basically said, the only way you go back into slavery is when you take your eyes off of Me. That's the only way, my friends, we ever go back to slavery. It's our choice. The liberty gives us freedom to choose. Only do not use your liberty as a freedom to have license to sin. Use it to have faith in God, in Christ. You have to have faith that if you're looking to Christ and following Jesus Christ, that He will lead you in the straight paths to the glory of God, to the hope of our calling, the promises that He has made to us, that we will become the righteousness of God. That we will come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we who have been called, we who have been justified, we will be glorified, as it says in Romans 8, verses 28-30. Alright? He is our focus. So therefore, verse 10, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Okay, there it is again. What's our focus? Where are we headed? To be the image of Him who created him. Guys, do you realize what an honorable, awesome thing it is to have a realization that we're not only alive, but that God made us to be in the image of Him? Wow. That's huge, isn't it? That He's given us, we're renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created Him. So there is no Greek or Jew, nor circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, okay, now He's got another therefore. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, let's read that again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we read it, we take it in, by the power of God, we let it dwell in us. The Word must dwell in us richly. Because if it's not the focus of us, we're going to be off target. That's why the training is so good. Hard focus on the front sight. You've got to be thinking, hard focus on Jesus Christ. Hard focus on the Word of God. This is the way we go. Put this Word into your mind. If you are not taking time daily for the Word of God, how do you think you're going to hit the targets? How do you think you're going to stay focused on Christ if you don't know what Christ is teaching? Because all the instructions are right here. Make time. Guys, it doesn't take that much. It doesn't take that much, but it does take consistency. Keep putting it in. Pray about it. Think about it. Make it your focus as you live. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, right away they helped make us teachers, even though we knew nothing. but they made us helpers of each other. So there would be somebody that was actually working and somebody that was actually helping the person who is learning how to shoot properly. Why? We need this help and encouragement. This is the part of the body of Christ, the church. This is why Jesus puts us in this body. None of us are perfect, but we're all to be helpers, helping people to do the right things to stay online. Okay? So teaching and admonishing one another. Are you being a helper of each other in this joy and in this work? And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do. You see the level of commitment that takes? That takes a hard focus. You've got to have a hard focus on Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do you see the standard of commitment? In shooting, and you don't have a hard focus, you start to see, boy, my accuracy goes really off. You don't have a philosophy of, and an approach, I should say, of whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. So this gets harder to hit. Do you see that? If I'm saying, whatever I do in word or deed, I do in the name of Jesus Christ, I do unto Him, I can be this. I can hit this target in my life. Because whatever I'm doing in word or deed is focused on Him. And I'm becoming that. I'm becoming this person. But when I take my eyes off of Christ, if not everything I'm doing is word or deed, if I allow myself to get lazy in my focus, I'm off target. I'm a mess. I'm not going to do very well. Okay, I'm thinking about other things. I'm thinking about me trying to do it. I'm thinking about letting my mind relax so I can focus on other things that might be more interesting or more important to me. But when you really have a dedication and a commitment, when you really see the calling of Jesus Christ in your life, when you say, yes, I give my life because everything in His life is what I want. Do you want a relationship with somebody like this? Absolutely. You'd have to be a fool to not want a relationship with God. Because everything that you would honor and love and respect in another person is found in your Creator. So what do you think He wants from you? He wants to have a relationship with you. With these characteristics as well. That's what He wants from you. Till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This unity of faith and belief, the conviction to be who God would have us be. I have so much more to say, but I'm going to not keep you long today. So, God willing, if it be His desire and will, I'll pick this up the next time I speak. But here's what I'm asking you today. Think about the applications in your life. When you start to see your mind wander toward things of lust, maybe men, it might be lusting for another a woman, or things of sin, or you're worrying, or you're anxious in thought, or you have doubts about things, and you start to see fear creep in, and you're wondering, you know, what's going on? You feel a lack of peace in your life. Realize that what you need to do is get your focus back on Jesus Christ. Every time you start to see, you need to self-diagnose the fact that you have taken your focus off of Christ and it's getting back onto the things of the world, and it's going to get you off target. It's going to get you off alignment to where you want to go in your life. And you've got to be hard on yourself to say, no. You have to say, I need to be focused on Jesus. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And you realize when you will submit yourself to this thought, things will begin to change and you'll begin to overcome. So again, God willing, if He chooses, He leads me so, I'll speak on this the next time I speak. If not, we'll be on another subject. But remember, put your faith and hope and trust in Him. See Him in your life in each moment. In each hour, in each day, live life with Christ, with faith in Him. Keep your focus on Him, and your life will go straight in your paths.